If you're a talk radio junkie like me, you might assume that the programming is free. Commercial advertisers pay for the production costs and staff salaries. Well, that's true for most radio talk shows, but not for Issues Etc. Issues Etc. is listener-supported. We rely on you to pay for the production, salary, and airtime costs for this worldwide outreach. Hi, this is Todd Wilkin, asking you to consider making a tax-deductible gift to Issues Etc. today. You can donate online, issuesetc.org, or you can donate by check. Make your check payable to Lutheran Public Radio. The address? LPR, Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. LPR, Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Remember, unlike other talk radio shows, Issues Etc. needs your financial support. We depend on you for the continuation and expansion of Issues Etc. Thanks for your consideration.
If the new conservative coalition is going to be a governing coalition, it's going to have a significant number of Hispanics in it. That's dictated by demographics, and you don't get large numbers of Hispanics to support you when you're engaging in anti-Hispanic immigration rhetoric.
That's Dr. Richard Land of the Southern Baptist Convention's Ethics and Religious Liberty Commission. He's making a rather pragmatic argument about the demographics of America as it stands today and in the future, and immigration reform. Now, we're going to hear his entire argument here in just a few minutes. It's audio open lines for the remainder of this hour on this Thursday afternoon, July the 8th. I want you to listen carefully to what Dr. Richard Land has to say, suggestions for what he calls a conservative governing coalition on a new direction for immigration reform. He has some criticism, he has some advice, and you'll hear his arguments. I want to know what you think about this. Is this something that Christians can disagree about? Maybe another way of asking that question is, does the Bible have anything to say one way or the other on how we need to stand on something like immigration reform? I want your reaction. I want your answer to those questions. And to do so, our call-in number, 1-877-623-6943. We are coming to you live this Thursday afternoon. 1-877-623-MY-I-E. Send us a tweet at IssuesETC. Send us an email, talkback@issuesetc.org, talkback@issuesetc.org, or go to our Facebook fan page and leave your reaction to the suggestion Dr. Richard Land is making about a new direction for immigration reform on the conservative side, facebook.com/issuesETC, facebook.com/issuesETC. Well, recently National Public Radio interviewed Dr. Richard Land about immigration reform. Let's hear what he had to say, and then I want your reaction.
Well, while the immigration debate focuses on Arizona, here's another discussion taking place. A few prominent conservatives are speaking out in favor of the kind of comprehensive immigration bill many Republicans oppose, one that would include border security and then a path to citizenship for undocumented immigrants. NPR's national political correspondent Mara Liasson reports.
Richard Land's credentials as a leading evangelical conservative are impeccable. He heads the public policy arm of the Southern Baptist Convention, and from that influential perch, he's been urging his fellow conservatives to rethink their opposition to a comprehensive immigration overhaul.
I've had some of them appeal to me saying, Richard, you're going to divide the conservative coalition. And I said, well, I may divide the old conservative coalition, but I'm not going to divide the new one. And if the new conservative coalition is going to be a governing coalition, it's going to have a significant number of Hispanics in it. That's dictated by demographics, and you don't get large numbers of Hispanics to support you when you're engaging in anti-Hispanic immigration rhetoric.
Last week, when President Obama gave his speech on immigration, Land was in the audience. In fact, he had urged the president to make the speech. Mr. Obama called on both parties to rise above petty politics to fix the country's broken immigration system. Land says that will be very hard because there's short-term political advantage for both parties in doing nothing.
Democrats, because it scares Hispanics who can vote into voting for them, and they can convince them Republicans are anti-Hispanic. And Republicans, because they look at these polls that show that 70% of Americans support the Arizona law, and they say, you know, we can win with this in November. And my argument is, Politicians think about the next election. Statesmen think about the next generation.
So what do you think? Do you think that we should take some pragmatic political advice here, and that is because the demographics of the country are going the way they are with regard to Hispanics, if there's going to be a governing conservative coalition, as Dr. Land calls it, we'd better rethink opposition to comprehensive immigration reform. Now, that's the pragmatic kind of political argument. But on the Christian side of this, do you think the Bible has anything to say definitively of where Christians ought to stand, what kind of policy they ought to support or oppose on immigration reform? I want your answer to those questions. 1-877-623-6943, 877-623-6943. Email us, talkback@issuesetc.org. Send us a tweet at @issuesetc, or visit our Facebook fan page. Leave your answers there, facebook.com/issuesetc.
But even if Republicans are thinking only of the next election or the next few elections, Land says the lessons of history should compel them to think again.
The people who have been anti-immigration have lost every one of these arguments. They lost it with the Irish in the 1830s and 40s and turned them into Democrats for three generations. They lost it with the Italians in the 1890s and the early part of the 20th century and turned the Italians into Democrats for three generations. I mean, you know, do they want to do it with the Hispanics too?
Well, I guess my response to that is, as far as the survival of the Republican Party is concerned, I'm more concerned with the survival of my state.
That's State Senator Jonathan Payton, one of the Republicans running for Congress in the 8th District of Arizona. He voted for his state's new immigration law in the state legislature. As for the federal government, he says,
we're not asking for more laws. We're asking for them to enforce the laws that they already have and to take that seriously.
You mean if somebody is here illegally, they should be arrested and deported?
Yes, absolutely.
And if he's elected to the U.S. Congress, Payton says, he knows how he would vote on immigration.
I can't vote for anything that would give a path to citizenship for those who've come into the country illegally.
I want to hear from you. There's more to hear from Land and from the arguments against, but I want to hear from you. It's Thursday afternoon. We're coming to you live. It's July the 8th. You're listening to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. Does the Bible have to say anything, one way or the other, on immigration reform? Does it inform your opinion, the way you vote, what you support, what you oppose when it comes to immigration reform? Do you think that the Bible informs Christians to oppose comprehensive immigration reform, the kind being proposed by President Obama and now Dr. Richard Land of the Southern Baptist Convention? Border security along with a path to citizenship. I mean, everyone likes border security. Maybe the controversial thing here is a clear path to citizenship for those who are here illegally. Does the Bible say anything there? 1-877-623-6943. Talkback@issuesetc.org or visit our Facebook fan page, facebook.com/issuesetc. It's audio open lines. Here's more from NPR.
And despite the arguments of conservatives like Richard Land or former Florida Governor Jeb Bush, who's been working with him, that is the bottom line for most Republicans in Congress, says Texas Senator John Cornyn.
That is what causes so much heartburn on the right, because that is viewed as tantamount to amnesty, which is, of course, a radioactive term.
Cornyn, who says 30% of his constituents are Hispanic, represents what could be called the middle of the internal Republican debate on immigration. He says he, too, is for comprehensive immigration legislation. He just doesn't want it to include a pathway to citizenship. He's intrigued by the idea of other forms of legalization, maybe a permanent green card for illegal aliens who pay a fine or plead guilty to a misdemeanor.
It wouldn't satisfy the left because they want these folks to be on a path to citizenship. They'd obviously like them to register to vote, and they'd like to gain the electoral advantage by adding them to their column. But I think it would be one way to try to thread the needle.
But before Cornyn gets a chance to test his theory about the motives of his Democratic opponents, he and other Republicans will have to resolve their own debate about immigration and what they want to happen after the border is secured. Deportation, legalization, or citizenship. That's a debate that will take several years to resolve, and right now it's being obscured by the legal drama of the United States versus Arizona. Mara Liasson, NPR News, Washington.
All right, you've heard the story. Now I want your reaction. You're opposed to comprehensive immigration reform or a path to citizenship for those who are here illegally. Do you think you need to rethink that position? 1-877-623-6943. Dr. Richard Land of the Southern Baptist Convention says, yes, you do, both in terms of future politics and in terms of actually solving the problem. What do you think? 1-877-623-6943. Talkback@issuesetc.org. Leave your answer to that question also at our Facebook fan page, facebook.com/issuesetc. Do you agree or disagree that those who've been opposed to comprehensive immigration reform need to rethink their position? Yes to border security, and maybe even yes to making a path for citizenship for those here illegally. Does the Bible have anything to say or inform your opinion on this at all? I want to hear from you. Talkback@issuesetc.org, our Facebook fan page, facebook.com/issuesetc, and our call-in number live this Thursday afternoon, 1-877-623-6943, 877-623-MYIE. Robert in St. Louis chimes in on Facebook. He says, Land conveniently and consciously confuses anti-illegal immigration with anti-immigration. Pure public posturing, beware of clerics cozying up to politicians. What about the rest of you? 1-877-623-6943, talkback@issuesetc.org, or like Robert did and many others have, leave your comment at our Facebook fan page, facebook.com/issuesetc. Now, if you go back to the Old Testament, you will find actually quite a bit of material on how at least ancient national Israel was instructed to deal with people who were among them but weren't technically citizens. They were called sojourners, strangers, wayfarers, aliens, and there actually is quite a bit of Old Testament material on how God commanded them to be treated. Does that say anything about how we should deal with people who are coming illegally into our country across our southern border? Yes or no? 1-877-623-6943. Talkback@issuesetc.org. Visit us our Facebook fan page, facebook.com/issuesetc.
Here's a great resource for Sunday school teachers. Mondays, we interview Deaconess Pam Nielsen of Concordia Publishing House about the upcoming Growing in Christ Sunday school lesson. You'll find these interviews under the Listen on Demand page of our website, issuesetc.org. Listen to a 20-minute interview with Pam Nielsen and you'll be prepared to teach Sunday school this weekend, issuesetc.org. Click Listen on Demand and look for Teaching a Sunday School Lesson with Deaconess Pam Nielsen.
How can a proper distinction between God's law and God's gospel help you better understand God's word? The Issues Etc. book of the month for July is Law and Gospel, How to Read and Apply the Bible. You can purchase Law and Gospel by calling Concordia Publishing House, 1-800-325-3040, 1-800-325-3040, or browse before you buy at issuesetc.org. Law and Gospel, How to Read and Apply the Bible by C.F.W. Walther.
Smartest listeners in radio. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Killing the unborn to help the family.
This is a special commentary from the Susan B. Anthony List, named for the suffragette who was proudly pro-life.
In a new book entitled Red Families versus Blue Families, the authors show that blue, or Democratic, states have fewer divorces and out-of-wedlock children than red, or Republican, states. From this, the authors conclude that liberal ideas regarding sex and marriage are superior to more traditional views. However, while the teen pregnancy rate is the same in blue and red states, the abortion rate is more than double in blue states. So while women in those states may experience fewer divorces and have fewer children, the unborn pay a high price.
This is Marjorie Dannenfelser, president of the Susan B. Anthony List. For more about our work to mobilize and advance pro-life women in politics, Visit our website at sba-list.org.
The people who have been anti-immigration have lost every one of these arguments. They lost it with the Irish in the 1830s and 40s and turned them into Democrats for three generations. They lost it with the Italians in the 1890s and the early part of the 20th century and turned the Italians into Democrats for three generations. I mean, you know, do they want to do it with the Hispanics too?
That's Dr. Richard Land of the Southern Baptist Convention just making a simple pragmatic political argument that social conservatives should probably rethink their opposition to comprehensive immigration reform, start to nuance it a little bit. He has some suggestions if they want to hold some political ground with an emerging demographic in United States politics. What do you make of his argument? 1-877-623-6943. It's audio open lines, issues, etc. Live this Thursday afternoon, July the 8th. Do you think we need to rethink opposition to comprehensive immigration reform? Should there be a path for citizenship for those here illegally? Does the Bible have anything to say to you? Does it inform your opinion on this at all? 1-877-623-6943. Lance is listening in New York. Lance, welcome.
Hi. I wanted to take issue with something you had said before the break when you mentioned that everybody wants border security. I don't think everybody does want border security, because if everybody wanted border security, I think we would have had it several years ago. Also, with regard to Dr. Land, my question is he a Republican strategist, or does he represent the Southern Baptist Convention? Because he seems to be confused about that.
All right, Lance, thank you very much, and thanks for listening in New York. I think what I should have said is everybody says they want border security. Obviously, there are some, I think, relative to the population, very, very few who really want completely open borders. But everyone at least claims that they want some kind of border security. Of course, the real sticky wicket here for in the debate is, what do you do with people who are already here illegally? Dr. Richard Land says, look, we got to have a path to citizenship of some form or another. Some people say that's amnesty. Some people see that's just a practical necessity. Helen in Texas says this: we've been raised to obey the law. Does that not apply if you speak Spanish? Illegal immigration should be cheaper and, I'm sorry, she says, legal immigration should be cheaper and easier. Illegal immigration should be harder, and rather than giving those who are here a pass because they have done something illegal, they should go to the end of the line. Children whose mothers are only dumped on California hospital steps to get a free delivery and a U.S. birth certificate should not get the U.S. certificate. The Old Testament civil law, says Helen in Texas, do not apply. What do you think? 1-877-623-6943, 877-623-MY-I-E. Oh, Lance also mentioned that Dr. Land appeared confused about whether he's representing a voice in Republicanism or social conservatism or the Southern Baptist Convention. I think he was speaking there probably and allowed himself to be portrayed as speaking there on behalf of the Southern Baptist Convention's Ethics and Religious Liberty Commission. He could hardly do that publicly without having that connection made there. And so I don't think he's actually trying to speak for a church body as much as for a voice from that church body that speaks on issues public. That's the fairest way of probably reading him. So what do you think? Do we need to rethink opposition to comprehensive immigration reform? 1-877-623-6943. Helen in Texas says Old Testament laws having to do with the sojourner, the stranger, the alien simply do not apply. Matt in Minnesota says, thinking about this theologically, we should, one, affirm the rule of law. Two, understand that our neighbor is not merely limited to citizens or residents of our nation. Three, support laws that help and befriend our neighbor in every bodily need. This goes for protecting the safety of this nation's residents and for those who wish to enter, not imposing unreasonable roadblocks to entering this country. He ends by saying, it's a complicated issue. Much more than one realizes until you have a family member, by marriage, go through the immigration process. Personally, says Matt in Minnesota, I believe our current system, which requires thousands of dollars and months to years of time, encourages many to break the law in entering the country so that they can feed their families. though I admit not to having any satisfactory solutions. You know, if somebody had satisfactory solutions, we wouldn't still be debating this one. Matt, thank you very much, and thanks for listening in Minnesota. You know, one of the ways I have to toss this out there, one of the ways that I am compelled to think about this as a Christian is to put myself in the shoes of the person who has illegally entered this country. I think it's fair to say that most of them do not enter out of a sense of greed or wanting to invade our country or wanting to take your job. They come because they got mouths to feed back home. And they really see this as a land of opportunity, even if they have to shoehorn that opportunity in illegally. They see this as a land where they can actually help feed their families. Try to put yourself in their shoes and say, if you were living in Mexico, if you were a Mexican citizen, wouldn't you want to come to the United States? And if it was hard to get in legally, would you be tempted to come in illegally, especially if it meant that you could help provide better for your family? Let's push it just one step farther. If you were a young couple, citizens of Mexico, near the border, and you found out that your wife was pregnant, wouldn't you even stop and think for a second about getting your wife across that border so your child could be a U.S. citizen and not have to live the kind of life you're living? I'm just tossing it out there because I think this is what realistically goes through the minds of those who enter this country illegally. Kevin is listening in St. Louis. Hi, Kevin.
Hi. You raised the question about Old Testament rules concerning the treatment of foreigners or aliens living in the land. I was trying to think about that. I don't remember anything. It seemed to be more of don't exploit these people, don't enslave them, don't take advantage of them. I don't remember any commands to let's give them free health care, make sure they have a job, all that stuff. It seems like we have two different situations here, and I don't think we could take Old Testament rules or guidelines, commands about not exploiting your neighbor and applying it to what's going on with illegal aliens today in America. And additionally, you raise the point, from their perspective, they're looking for the land of opportunity, and it just seems kind of cruel of us to put some limitations on that. If you follow that line of argument completely, let's just forget about any rules at all concerning immigration. With that perspective, we might as well just say, hey, anyone who can actually wade up onto the shore, you're a citizen, we're going to take care of you.
Kevin, thanks for listening in St. Louis. Actually, just let me correct something there. I did not actually make the argument that somehow someone's desire to enter this country because their position as a Mexican citizen is so dire justifies their actions. I was simply saying, for the sake of argument, put yourself in their shoes. Understand why they come, why they seek to enter illegally. We have to do this as Christians. We do have to understand why someone is doing this and put ourselves in our neighbor's shoes. I never argued that it justifies the illegality of their actions. Now, the reason I raise the question about Old Testament laws is because there are many who justify illegal immigration and harboring of illegal immigrants, keeping them from the INS, giving them sanctuary, based on those Old Testament laws. And I really am genuinely curious whether you think that case holds any water. 1-877-623-6943, 877-623-MY-IE. Email us with your questions or comments on immigration reform. Do you think Dr. Richard Land is right? We need to rethink opposition to it. Talk back at issuesetc.org or visit our Facebook fan page, facebook.com/issuesetc. Tom in San Angelo, Texas, via email says, were the sojourners, etc., in the Old Testament in the land of Israel legally or illegally? What makes the difference in how the question is answered? He says that makes a difference in how the question is answered. Those who are legally in the U.S. with proper documentation, green cards, etc., and those legally in Israel in the Old Testament should indeed be treated differently than those who have entered the country illegally. The law of Arizona and other states stresses this difference and upholds the right of legal non-citizens to be in the country, and they are entitled to government protection. Tom continues. He says the official policy of the United States is quite similar to the proposed law in Arizona and other states, including Missouri. The problem is that the law of the U.S. has not been enforced. Therefore, the non-enforcers, in my opinion, writes Tom, are guilty of breaking the law and should be charged for at least a misdemeanor. Scripture enjoins us to obey the government. The government is not obeying the government. What should we do? Asks Tom. There is a path for legal citizenship already in place. It is a slap in the face to those following the letter of the law to allow a shortcut to those who choose not to follow the law. This must be addressed for the security and the safety of our nation. Too many Christians are hiding their heads in the sand and acting as if tolerating the same is the same as love. Tom, thank you very much. Thanks for listening in San Angelo, Texas. Good distinctions made there, by the way. Sarah says via Facebook, it still leaves out the most important factor in immigration reform, making a realistic path for them to enter legally in the first place. There are basically four ways to get a green card status in America. And here are a few suggestions, says Sarah. Be a refugee. Persons from Mexico and most of Central America are not considered refugees. That would be political asylum. Two, be an immediate member of the family, a parent, a spouse, a dependent child of an American citizen. The waiting list for this is several years long. Three, writes Sarah, be highly qualified as a worker. Have a job offer. There are plenty of ways. Or, four, win one of 50,000 lottery slots. People from Mexico are excluded from the lottery because the idea is no one from other nations would have a chance. Be right back. More open lines after this. Whatever you're looking for.
Hello, this is Pastor Kevin Golden of Village Lutheran Church in Ladue, Missouri. The saints at Village Lutheran are proud to be part of the Issues Etc. 300, sharing in their Christ-centered, cross-focused proclamation of the gospel. If you find yourself in St. Louis, join us on Sundays at 8:15 and 10:45 for the Divine Service, 9:30 for Bible study and Sunday school, as we receive Christ's gifts of forgiveness, life, and salvation. Or visit us on the web at www.villagelutheranchurch.org.
Issues Etc. is listener-supported. That means we rely on you for the continuation and expansion of this worldwide outreach. Hi, this is Todd Wilkin. Please consider making a tax-deductible gift to Issues Etc. today. You can donate online, issuesetc.org, or by check. Make your check payable to Lutheran Public Radio and send it to LPR, Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Thanks for your support.
Treadmill for the Mind. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Have you ever wanted to know about the origins of Issues Etc.? Did you know church leaders were opposed to teaching the laity Reformation theology? Check out our new YouTube video, You Can't Teach Lay People Theology, issuesetc.org, and click support. Equipping the priesthood of all believers. Watch the short YouTube video, You Can't Teach Lay People Theology today. Just go to the support page of our website, issuesetc.org.
Are you looking for a Christ-centered, cross-focused church? Check out the Find a Church page at our website, issuesetc.org. Are you tired of worship that's more about self-help than the Savior, the Christian rather than the Christ, and Christ in you instead of Christ for you? It's not about you. It's about Jesus for you. Find a church near you, issuesetc.org, and click Find a Church. It's Open Lines, Issues Etc. live this Thursday afternoon, July the 8th. What do you think about immigration reform? Dr. Richard Land of the Southern Baptist Convention says that social conservatives should be rethinking their opposition to comprehensive immigration reform, maybe a path to citizenship for those who are here illegally. He says that's necessary as a way of solving the problem. And also, he says politically, for the future of, I think he's thinking in terms of the Republican Party, it's necessary because the demographics of the country are changing. What do you make of that? Agree or disagree? 1-877-623-6943. That's our call-in number, 877-623-6943. 1-800-283-4843. We have a Facebook fan page where you can leave your question, your comment, your reaction, facebook.com/issuesETC. You can send us a tweet right here in the studio at issuesETC or your email right here in the studio, talkback@issuesETC.org. I didn't finish with Sarah before we took the break. She concludes her comments there from Facebook saying, the total quota for granting green cards to Mexican citizens through all routes combined is in the tens of thousands. She doesn't remember the exact number. Not anywhere near the 400,000 who enter illegally every year. Granting amnesty or beefing up border security is only going to treat the symptoms. The real problem is that there are jobs available for those willing to take them, but it is impossible for those who need them to take them legally. Now, Tim in California says, we should limit all forms of immigration until a system that can thoroughly vet every applicant is put into place. We are not acting as good neighbors when we act as a safety valve that takes pressure off other countries from changing corrupt governments. Why change your home when it's easier to move? Now, I understand your sentiment there, Tim, and thanks for listening in California, but I would respond in this way. If every person who is dissatisfied with the political, social, economic circumstances of their home country decided to stay home and fix the country instead of emigrate to the United States, well, our population would probably be somewhere around 100 million, and we would be practically only, well, I don't even know, I think we'd only be a Native American population. Because most of the people who immigrated to this country, either before its formation or after its formation, did so because they were kind of unhappy where they were before for economic, religious, social, political reasons. There would be no immigration at all. I mean, people immigrate unless you get a job someplace else and plan to keep that job the rest of your life. People immigrate because they're seeking better opportunities. Nicholas in Detroit says, unless you've tried to immigrate here, you don't realize how hard it is to do. And it is difficult. I don't know all the details of it, but it is so difficult that people would rather break the law than actually follow the law. Jim in Morton, Illinois says, are you aware that anyone caught sneaking into Mexico is automatically sent back to their host country in chains? I don't understand why tens of millions of uneducated, unskilled people were allowed to sneak across the border in violation of federal law in the first place. There are not enough jobs for people that are already living in the USA. I mean, we make it. Is this part of the problem? I'm just speaking here in purely pragmatic terms, that we make it easier to illegally enter. This was reflected by a caller before, or someone who sent an email before. We make it easier to enter illegally than we do legally. Of course, it's almost always easier, that is, more expedient to do something illegally than it is to do it legally. Via Facebook, Christine in Tucson, Arizona says, you have to think about brain drain too. Is it really good for Mexico that all the most motivated people leave to come to America? Is it good for India if all the best graduates in engineering and medicine do the same? Now, Richard says, regardless of what one might think about immigration, I'm concerned about the amount of time churches, like the Southern Baptist Convention, spend on public policy issues. I'm even more concerned that this main goal, his main goals, that is Richard Land's main goal, seems to be changing the policy in order to ensure that they have a part of a conservative governing coalition. Seems like victory for conservative values outweighs preaching the gospel and administering the sacraments. Now, I won't say that of Dr. Richard Land. I think in his calling there, as someone who's supposed to deal with public policy, he's speaking quite properly. Is he making a almost purely pragmatic political argument? Well, I think he is issuing a warning to those who are opposing comprehensive immigration reform and saying, look, it's happened before and it can happen again. We can find an entire population that will be here whether we want them to be or not, and perhaps in the future be voting not on our side on this issue. Maybe we should think about the future. The phrase he used was politicians think about the next election, statesmen think about the next generation. He's trying to encourage some statesmanship. Those are his words. Still plenty of time for your thoughts about immigration reform. Our email address on this Thursday afternoon, talkback@issuesetc.org. Twitter us at @issuesetc. Visit our Facebook fan page, facebook.com/issuesetc, or just give us a call, 1-877-623-MYIE, 877-623-6943. The Issues Etc. Book of the Month for July is, I try not to pick favorites, but this has got to be one of my favorites of all time. We've done a lot of books of the month over the years of Issues Etc., and this is probably hands down, I'll admit it, my favorite. And the reason it is because it is so practical and such good advice, and without the understanding that is imparted in this book, I mean, you could have this understanding without this book, but without the understanding of how God's Word is put together, imparted in this book, it is true, Scripture remains a closed volume. The book is called Law and Gospel, How to Read and Apply the Bible. It's the Issues Etc. Book of the Month for July. Find out more about it. It is truly a remarkable book, a must read. Find out more at our website, issuesetc.org, or call Concordia Publishing House and order Law and Gospel, How to Read and Apply the Bible. Their toll-free number, 1-800-325-3040, 1-800-325-3040. Rihanna says, I think if the government lowered the minimum wage, number one, there would be more jobs here. Two, there would be less need for illegals to work under the table for the price people would prefer to pay. Number three, she says, there would be more welcoming arms for immigrants who want to work valid low-wage earning jobs. Number four, some employers might let part-time positions be full-time. This might increase productivity here and decrease the exodus of employment opportunities and slowly increase our manufacturing sector. I've never heard that suggestion before, lowering the minimum wage. It's interesting. I just have to give that some thought. Sean via Facebook says the Old Testament has a lot to say about the mingling of heathen foreigners into God's people. What about watering down the faith via foreign religious ideals? When do we sacrifice the faith for human rights or so-called human decency? Does it even matter then if it is legal or illegal? Well, I guess that would presume that it's foreign influence that's troubling American Christianity when it isn't. Oh, no, no, no. American Christianity is exporting some of the worst in a false teaching. We're really good at making it, and we export it cheap. Now, it's true. I mean, there's an influx of a Muslim population. Islam has an influence there, but I think American Christianity's probably got a monopoly on producing bad teaching at the current state of affairs and trying to spread it all over the world. So I don't think illegal immigration bears much upon keeping the truth of the gospel pure. It, by the way, does present an opportunity for the pure gospel to be preached. Bohr in Utah says, thanks, Todd, for tackling the issue the way you have. I think Christians who often lean right, we need to re-examine our position on the issue. I hate to hear otherwise. Good Christians dehumanize illegal immigrants. Whatever one's position on immigration reform is, the attitude toward the illegal immigrant needs to be checked. See, that's what I was trying to get at when I said put yourself in their shoes. I'm as concerned about border security as anybody else, and I think we need to solve this problem, or it's going to be a problem that has extremely long-term implications for us economically and politically. And when I say, yeah, us, I mean all Americans. It's a problem. It needs to be addressed in some way. I don't say do anything. Let's do the right thing, but I don't know what the right thing is. But I think about this theologically, and that doesn't mean thinking about it in abstract theological terms. That means thinking about the people here involved. A theologian asks this question first and foremost, what does God say? And then the theologian says what God says, uses God's vocabulary and thinks in the terms that God has given. What does God say? These illegal immigrants, although they have broken the law, yes, they have. And there's a political solution for that someplace. These are sinners in need of Jesus Christ, just like me. I must admit, if I were in their shoes, I dare say I would do the same thing. Would it be right? No, it would not be right. It would be illegal. And I would probably deserve to be deported. But I must admit that I am as big a sinner as they are. And if I were put in those circumstances that they find themselves, I'd probably end up doing the same thing. That's just me admitting the kind of sinner I am in need of Jesus Christ. I'm Todd Wilkin. Talk with you again tomorrow. Thanks for listening to Issues, Etc.
Listen weekday afternoons to Pastor Todd Wilkin and guests on Issues, Etc. Issues, Etc. is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is vital for the continuation and expansion of this worldwide outreach. Our mailing address, Lutheran Public Radio, P.O. Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. You can also donate at our website, issuesetc.org. Issues Etc. is a production of LPR, Lutheran Public Radio.